Well, I want to ask you a question this morning as we kind of kick things off. Have you ever wondered why you're not experiencing more of God's peace in your life? Have you ever wondered why you're so anxious or why you're so stressed out? Maybe you struggle with tension headaches, or maybe your stomach is in knots, or you have to take medication for anxiety, or you just have high levels of nervousness in your life. Have you ever wondered, man, why do I feel this way? God has some great things to say to us today about His peace in our life. And last week we kicked off this series called The Best Is Yet to Come. And I'm going to be going through some of my favorite passages from the Old Testament book of Isaiah. And today I want to turn our attention to Isaiah chapter 26, verses 3 and 4, where the Bible speaks to us today about our thought life. Dr. Carolyn Leaf, a brain expert, recently published a book in which she said that every thought produces an electrochemical reaction in the brain. When we think about good things, it releases endorphins. It releases chemicals in the brain that make us feel good. When we think about negative things, it actually releases chemicals in the brain that make us feel poorly, and if unchecked, can even lead to disease. Is the reason that we are feeling so bad related to our thoughts, to our mind? A lot of times when we think, well, I'm not feeling well, we think that, man, I need to lose weight, or I need to eat better, or I need to, you know, change this or whatever it may be. And that may be the case, but I wonder today if our thoughts are making us feel so bad. We got to change our minds today. Change our minds. I want to talk to you today about how to have a positive mind. How to have a positive mind. This is something that is all throughout the Bible, in the Old and the New Testament. The Scripture has so much to say to us about our thought life and about our thinking. Negative emotions evolve out of fear, and positive emotions evolve out of faith, Dr. Leaf says. So our faith in God can be one of the greatest drivers to having a positive mind. In fact, I believe it is the most important aspect, is our faith in God, because it gives us a confidence. It gives us a swagger, if you will. It gives us something to look forward to when things don't look too good around us. And when our faith in God is in order, then it begins to help us to keep our mind focused on the things that are positive. I also believe this: it's difficult to have a positive life and to have a negative mind. If we have a negative mind, if we have that negative mind, it's impossible to have a positive life. If we have a positive life, we will set the stage to have a positive life with that positive mind. So how can we begin to have that positive mind? When Isaiah 26, the Bible tells us this. Number one, God promises to bring great peace in our life. I love to call it mega peace. Mega peace comes from God. God is the originator of peace. Sometimes people say, I am seeking peace. The Bible tells us that we should seek God first, and when we seek God, that peace comes as a byproduct of seeking God. So we're not just seeking peace, we're seeking God, and out of that relationship with God, peace comes from it. Notice what the Scripture says here in verse 3. You will keep, that is God, in perfect peace all who trust in you. There's two things today that the Bible says that we're to do, but there is one thing that God does. And the first thing that we see that God does is God brings perfect peace, the Bible says, mega peace. In the Old Testament, this scripture, originally written in Hebrew, uses the word shalom, shalom. Now, you may not know a lot of Hebrew, but you might know those words, right? Peace, peace. So the Hebrew language doesn't have like the phrase perfect peace, but what it does is it's an intensifier. When the same word is repeated two times in a row, it means not just a little bit of peace, but a whole lot of peace, mega peace, perfect peace, the Bible says. Perfect peace. It comes from God. God brings mega peace. This is not casual peace. This is not surface peace. This is not peace that is just, you know, easy to comprehend or understand. In fact, Paul said this, it's a peace that passes all understanding. It's a supernatural peace. It's a dynamic peace. It's a peace that comes from God. Peace, peace, shalom, shalom, perfect peace. God promises, and the Bible says that God promises to bring perfect peace into your life. Today, you may not even realize today, man, how stressed out you've been or how anxious or how nervous you've been. This double peace comes from God. Now listen, if the Bible would have said that God gives peace, that would be great. But isn't it fantastic that it says that he brings perfect peace? And so you may ask the question, well, I'm not experiencing perfect peace in my life. God, bring some perfect peace on me. I need to find that perfect peace. What does God want me to do? What does God want me to do? Look again at verse 3. The scripture says this, that God wants to bring perfect peace, but he says this, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. All whose thoughts are fixed on you. Then he goes on, he says, trust the Lord always in verse 4, but look at that first part of that ending part of verse 3. All whose thoughts are fixed on you. So God brings perfect peace, but I got to fix my mind on the things of God. God wants me to fix my thoughts. Are your thoughts fixed on him? Now, to have a fixed mind means that our mind is focused on God. So we all need to get fixed, don't we? We need to get fixed. We need to get our mind fixed on God. So we don't get distracted. Sometimes we got little rabbit trails that we run off on in the mind. You know, we leave church today. We're all fired up. We're thinking about God. And then something happens and we're off over here and we're off over here. We got to fix our mind. If you want perfect peace in your life, if you want to have a positive thought life, you want to have a thought life that honors God and honestly makes you feel better, then we got to fix our mind. Our mind has got to be fixed. Fix your mind. Fix my thoughts. We got to fix it, we got to focus it, and we got to filter it. But we got to first of all fix it. And the word here for Hebrew, in the Hebrew language for mind or thought, is a word that means a tendency of mind or a mindset, okay? A mentality, a mindset. So what is your mindset? Do you have a negative mindset? Is everything bad and getting worse and life sucks and it's terrible? Or do you have a positive mindset? Everybody has a mindset. What is the set of your mind? Everybody looks at the world through a lens. What is your lens? What is your lens? What is your mentality? What is your perspective? What is your mindset? What is your frame of mind? What is that filter? The Bible says, fix your mind on God. Don't be distracted. Don't be distracted. Fix that mind on the Lord. Listen, when you start to fret and worry, you know what that means? You're not fixed. You're not fixed. You got to recalibrate. Oh, the Lord. Yeah. Change your mind. Change your mind. Fix your mind on God. Colossians chapter 3 says, set your mind on the things of God. It says to set our mind on heavenly things. In other words, we should be focused on the things of eternity, the things of God. Set your mind. Set your mind. Make it your priority. You know, the truth is that most people think about whatever they're thinking about. It's true. Very few people say, I'm going to fix my thoughts. I'm going to filter my thoughts. I refuse to think about that. It's true. We just think about whatever comes in. It could be the worst thought in the world. Just rolls around in the head, all the stuff. Man, we start freaking out. We start panicking. We start feeling anxious. We feel terrible. We feel worse. We don't know why. Why am I so uptight? Why am I yelling at my kids? You know, why am I so difficult at work? Why can I not sleep at night? Could it be the thoughts that are going on in your head? Fix your mind on the Lord. Set that mind, man. Don't think about all the insecurities and all the struggles. Man, think about God. Think about God. Pastor Kevin Gerald says this, that thoughts are like trains. They take you somewhere. Isn't that good? There are trains of thought. There are trains of thought. And most of the time, we don't think about the train before we board. I was leading a mission team. We were in Frankfurt, Germany. We were just enjoying the little town one day, and we waited as late as we could to get the last train back to the hotel where we were staying, and we ran down. We thought we were going to be late. We went down to the train station, and right as we got there in front of the train, the doors were about to shut, and I yelled at the team, "Come on, team, we got to get on here." And I'm an influencer, you know. I started screaming. I was like, "Get on the train, we're going to miss it." You know, everybody's like, "Well, you know," whole team, we all jumped on the train. And the leader of the trip looked at me and he said, "Ryan, we're going the wrong direction." About 20 minutes later, we ended up in a little town called Wiesbaden, Germany. I have no idea where that is today. Somewhere outside of Frankfurt. Middle of nowhere. And guess what? They had shut the train station down. We were stranded in this forsaken place. Will you, when you're in Germany, they don't have English signs, man. I mean, I was trying to read the signs and the words are all like that long in the first place. You know, it's like Gluten Bockendorf, you know. I'm like, what in the world is that? You know, we had to get a taxi cab back to where we were staying that day. And I was thinking about that this week because I thought, you know, a lot of times in our thought life, we board trains and we don't know where they're going. And they're leading us to dead ends. They're leading us to places we never wanted to go in the first place. We've got to fix our minds. Fix our minds on the things of God. I think that our thoughts are a lot like trail horses. A couple of years ago, we had some family. We went to the Rockies to ride horses in the mountains one summer. It was a lot of fun. Maybe you've done that before. And they had like 30 horses, and we were on this trail for like 2 hours. My nieces, my nephew, my brother and sister-in-law, my wife, everybody. And they put you in a certain order, you know? And I kind of got tired of the order. I was like, I'm going to go up and talk to my wife. So I kicked the horse, you know, trying to get him to pass two or three horses in front of me to get up there. I'm going to tell you, that was the most stubborn horse in the world. I was calling it names. By the end of the ride, I was whipping it, kicking it, doing all this, trying to get... The horse wouldn't budge. It just irritated him. That's all it did. He was a trail horse. I was trying to get him to cut through the woods, you know, kind of go off path. We'll catch up with everybody else later. He wouldn't do it because the horse had been conditioned to only ride the trail. Now, here's what they say about the mind. In the mind, there are grooves that are created by patterns of thought. So when I get bad news and I panic and fear, that's because millions of times I have felt panic and fear over similar situations. It's a pattern of thinking. It's a bad habit, if you will. It's a mindset issue. I'm riding the trail. And I'm riding the trail, and I don't even realize that I'm riding the trail. And I'm trying to get off the trail, but I can't get off the trail because I've been riding the trail so many times, day after day, hour after hour, year after year. I'm on the trail, I'm on the trail, I'm on the trail. And so to fix our mind on God is to reorient the trail of our mind. You see, we've got to change the way that we think. We've been thinking this way for all these years. And now God is doing something new in my life. And I want to get in alignment with Isaiah 26, which says, if I will fix my mind on God, God will keep me in perfect peace. I've got to change my mind. Quit riding the trail. Quit jumping on that train going to the middle of nowhere. I also think this, that when you start to change the way you think, it's like breaking up with a bad girlfriend. It really is. I mean, just think about it for a minute. Bad thoughts will stalk you down. Bad thoughts will come away. They will find you, you know. You're running this direction. Bad thoughts are chasing you, you know. Get away from me. Bad relationships, man. Bad relationships will stalk you. Bad relationships. You know, there's something appealing about the relationship. There's something that we like about it, and yet we see it's so destructive in our life. There's something we like about it. We're in this pattern of being anxious and fearful and hateful and jealous and insecure, whatever. We've thought that way so long, and so we love it and we hate it at the same time. And then you think that things will get better with time, you know? You think, well, if I just hang in the relationship, it'll get a little bit better, you know? And it doesn't. And then, unfortunately, everybody else around you sees it except you, because you keep thinking it's getting better, it's getting better, it's getting better. That's what bad thoughts do in our life. We think sometimes, if I can just kind of hang in there, it'll get better. Bad thoughts, they overpromise and underdeliver in our lives. They really do. And we don't even realize how much they're bringing us down until she's gone. What we got to do. So we got to break up with bad thinking. You will miss her at first, but then you will see. Bad thoughts are like bad relationships. Riding that trail. We got to fix those thoughts. We got to fix those thoughts. We got to be thinking about things like, man, who can I serve today? Who could I encourage today? Think about that. Just think about, man, who could I encourage today? Who could I bless today? Who could I do something nice for today? Think about that. Think about that. I want to spend some time telling God how much I appreciate his blessings in my life. You know, think about that. Think about that. Maybe we need to have a list of things to think about, because when we don't have a plan for our thinking, we just wander off back into these old patterns and these old trails that we've always thought about, and it seems impossible to fix our mind, doesn't it? But when we fix our mind, we also focus our mind. And I love to focus on the positive. I really do. When I pray and I ask God for things, but you know what? I also think about, what if God did this? Think about something good. Amen. Think about something good, man. Think about something good. Think about, you're praying for your new business. What if it worked? Right. What if you were successful? Quit thinking about, oh my God, I'm going into debt. This thing's going to fall. Why are you thinking like that? You need to start thinking, what if I succeeded? Right. What if it worked? If you're in a tough marriage, stay. Quit thinking about what's it going to be like once you're divorced. Quit thinking that way. Quit thinking, man, my marriage is going to get better. Amen. Things are going to improve. Things are moving forward. Think about those things. Why are you thinking about all that? Quit doing that. And you may think, well, Pastor, that's wishful thinking. You know what? It's actually biblical. Look at Jeremiah 29:11. The Bible says, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. So should we not be thinking about good things? Who wants to be around somebody that only thinks about the negative? And again, if we want to have a positive life, we've got to get positive thoughts. Positive thoughts are things that are in alignment with the Word of God. Amen. They're things that honor God. They're things that are true. Things that are right. And what if you did get the promotion? What if your spouse did come to Christ? What if? What if your prodigal kids came back to the Lord? Think about that. Quit thinking about, oh, they're crazy. No. Start thinking about what would it be like if they were sitting with me at church next time. Just think about, I'm telling you today, you're going to bless yourself. You're going to be encouraged. You're going to be strengthened. It's going to be good. Yes. Quit being moody all the time. Stop doing that. If you think negative thoughts, of course you're going to be moody. Of course you're going to be irritable. Of course it's going to be difficult to be around you. Of course it is. And notice the Bible says we should focus on God. We don't focus on ourselves. We don't focus just on our well-being. We don't just focus on our opinions. We don't just focus on, you know, our preferences. We don't just focus on our goals. Nothing wrong with goals, but our focus is on God first, goal second, okay? So let's fix our mind on God. Are you fixed? Are you fixed? Are you focused? Are you filtered? Look at this, 2 Corinthians 10:5. We got to filter those thoughts. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God to take every thought captive to obey Christ. So again, back to the filter. A negative thought comes in our mind and we're like, that's not right. I don't want to think that. I don't want to think about those kind of things. We take that thought captive and we blow it up. That's what we do. Take the thought captive. Take the thought captive. Don't let whatever thought comes into your mind stay there. Don't do it. We ask ourselves the question, is it in obedience with Christ? Is it against the knowledge of God? Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, we ought to focus on the things that are true. How about that for starters, okay? Don't think about what's false. Think about what's true. Don't think about what's impure. Think about what is pure. Put your mind on that. Put your mind on those things. Don't think about what is selfish. Think about what's noble. Don't think about just getting by. Think about doing what is praiseworthy and excellence. That's Philippians 4, chapter 8. Just put our mind on those things. I'm going to take every thought obedient to the person of Christ, and when those thoughts come in, I push them out. When the thoughts come in, I push them out. And then I replace it with good thoughts, good thoughts, good thoughts, good thoughts, and I retrain my thinking. How about that? Fix your mind. That's what the prophet says. So how do we stay focused, filtered, and fixed? How do we do it? Number one, we ought to be in church to hear the word of God, because you're going to get encouraged every single week. We ought to be here. I mean, just first things. Number two, we ought to be thinking about the person of Jesus Christ, his death on the cross, his resurrection. I mean, the teachings of Jesus, the person of Jesus. Fill our minds with those kinds of things. Think about God. Think about Jesus. Do that. God's nature and his goodness. How about this? God's kingdom and God's work. That's why in Matthew chapter 6, I read a different translation this week. It said this: set your mind on God's kingdom before everything else. Another version says, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. But I love this for today's message. Set your mind on God's kingdom before everything else. Are you thinking about God's kingdom? Are you thinking about reaching people for Christ? Are you thinking about seeing God grow people in their faith? Are you thinking about lives being transformed? I mean, again, what are we thinking about? What are we thinking about? What are we thinking about? James chapter 1 talks about a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. You want to be an unstable person? Have a divided mind. You're trying to be positive over here, and now, oh, I'm, you know, over here. And James 1 says we're like a wave of the sea. We're just tossed to, and whatever news we get reflects whatever mood that we're in. However much money in the bank reflects how I feel at that moment. Does that ever get tiresome? Do we ever get sick and tired of just being controlled by whatever circumstances are going on in our life? Listen, when your mind is fixed on God, you will rise above the circumstances in your life. And some of us think that if we could just get these three things in order, that I would be happy. You know what? Your life is never going to be perfect. That's why the Bible says you have to fix your mind. We got to fix our mind in spite of the circumstances. That's what it is. And what's amazing is when we get our mind fixed on the things of God, it will begin to transform our circumstances, because we're a different person. That's what will happen. Yeah, fix your mind. Paul said this in Philippians 4, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And I love that double peace that he mentions there, your heart and your mind. So your heart is your feelings and your emotions, and your mind is your thoughts. And when you pray, the Bible says God puts a guard around your mind and around your heart. So prayer ought to be a huge part of fixing our minds, you know, getting with God and experiencing that true peace that comes from him. Go on with me, if you would, in verse 4. The scripture goes on, it says a second thing that we're to do. That is trust in the Lord always. So we fix our minds, we trust in the Lord, and then God brings the perfect peace. So there's one thing that God does. God brings peace, but God says, you got to trust me and you got to fix your mind. Look at this in verse 4. Trust in the Lord always, for the Lord God is an eternal rock. Trust really means to rely on somebody, what it means. When I trust you, I am relying on you. When I trust God, I am leaning on God. I'm saying, God, you're stronger than I am. To trust somebody, you have to say, man, you're stronger than I am, so I'm going to lean on you. Yesterday, me and my kids were playing laser tag, and after three games, my kids were worn out, and they wanted to sit on me. Why? Because I'm just a little stronger, even though I was totally worn out from blowing kids up all afternoon, you know? We got to trust God. To trust God means to lean on Him. Are you leaning on God? Are you leaning on Him? And sometimes we say, well, you know, I would trust God if I had more answers in life. If I just understood more things about God, I would trust Him more. If I had more solutions, if I just understood. Listen, there's so many things that we trust in and we do every single day. We have no idea what we're doing. How about breathing, right? Does anybody here understand all of the nuances, the physiological intricacies of breathing? I don't remember ever saying, okay, body, I'm going to sleep, but while I'm asleep, I need you to keep breathing and then wake me up in the morning. No, you just breathe. You just breathe, right? You just do it. How about gravity? Anybody here understand all of the ramifications of gravity? No? But you know what? If we didn't have some gravity, I'd be floating away today as I'm preaching to you. It's here. I don't understand it. I know it's true. You know? I don't understand how text messaging works. I just know I get my phone out and I type a little message and I push send and it goes to my wife. I don't know, and I really don't care how it gets there. It just works. We don't have to understand everything to put our confidence and our trust in God. We just trust Him. We just trust Him. By the way, if you understood everything about God, what would that tell you about the divine nature of God? If I could explain to you every single nuance of who God is in a 30-minute message, God would not be that profound, right? If you could read a 200-page book that explained everything about God, God would not be that great. He wouldn't. So we trust Him. We lean on Him. God, you're greater than I am, so I'm going to lean on you. I'm going to lean on God. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to fix my mind, and then God is going to bring peace into my life. That's the way it works. That's the way it works. So do we have trust issues? A lot of times we think we know better than God, you know? I mean, we say, God, you know, I don't mind doing what you said on this and this, but you know what? When it comes to my thinking, I really know better than you, so I'm going to think like this. I'm going to kind of do my own thing. And then we get us upset with God that we don't have peace in our life. Are you thinking today, I know better than God in this area of my life? Or are you trusting in Him? See, to trust God means I'm putting all my eggs in that basket. Change my focus. Change my perspective. Don't have to have all the answers. I'm trusting in God. Trusting in God. And how long do we trust God? Well, notice it says there in verse 4, really forever. It says, trust in the Lord always. That means in any circumstance, you can trust in God. Okay? In sickness, trust God. Financial ruin, trust God. Marital difficulties, trust God. Unemployment, trust God. Uncertainties in your life, trust God. Feel terrible about your life, trust God. Trust God. Trust Him. Trust Him. Trust Him. And you notice there it says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. So see, when you start leaning on God, not only will you have peace in your life, God will start to show you where to go. God will unveil. You will have more direction in your life than you've ever had before. People say, I don't have any direction in my life. Are you trusting in God? Are you leaning on God? God will show you the path. God will show you more paths than you have ever known before if you will trust in Him. God will just unleash path after path. He will make it straight. He will show you. He will direct you. Trust in the Lord. Trust in Him. And I love this last part of verse 4 where it talks about God as the rock. See, the reason we trust God is because God is our rock. And whenever the scripture mentions God as our rock, it is always a symbol of His divine strength. So the Old Testament is reminding us, the prophet is reminding us, God is a rock, and that's why we trust him. He's the Lord, and he's the Lord God who's a rock. So we focus our attention on him. But we struggle, don't we? We struggle. A lot of times our attention is on other people, possessions, success, and most of all ourselves. The Bible says, put your focus on the rock, and the rock is God. The rock is God. It's not other people. It's not your priorities. It is him. It is him. So when I expect God to do what I'm supposed to do, guess what? I get a mess. God says, you got to fix your mind. You got to trust me. That's something that we do. When I expect to do what only God can do, I can get a mess. Why don't I have more peace? We're not seeking peace. We're seeking God. And out of that relationship with God, God says, I will put more peace in your life, perfect peace, peace that passes all understanding, peace that's not comprehensible, peace that doesn't even fit into the equation, peace that you cannot explain, peace that you cannot articulate to others. It's perfect peace. Shalom, shalom. It's double peace. It's mega peace. I will put mega peace in your life if you will just trust me and if you will fix your mind on who God is in your life. So when I expect God to do what I'm supposed to do, I get a mess. When I try to do what only God can do, I get a mess. But here's what's beautiful. When you bring together my responsibility with God's magnificence, you have perfect, perfect peace.